Here in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus continues to teach his disciples, saying, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough of its own trouble." Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the abundance we have in Christ, the abundance of what we need. We need your word. Feed us with your word here now, so that we'll be strengthened for the work of your kingdom, putting it in your righteousness first in our lives. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I'm continuing the series of sermons that I began last week on the theme of generosity, especially as it relates to our stewardship of money and material possessions. Last Sunday we focused on how generosity is grounded in worship. In other words, all that we are and all that we have belong to God, who is the God who creates and redeems and reigns. So when we make our offerings to the Lord, especially in the context of Sunday morning worship, part of what we're doing is acknowledging God's sovereignty in the world and in our lives. We're expressing our heartfelt devotion and allegiance to the Lord, because he alone has the power to give life and the power to save. As the psalmist reminded us last week, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. Well, this morning we're going to move from the Psalms to Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus is in the midst of teaching his disciples what it means to live out the righteousness of God's reign together in their lives. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus covers lots of subjects, including how his disciples then and now should relate to money and possessions. Some of the most memorable teachings of our Lord come from this passage that you heard a few moments ago. Store up treasures for yourself in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You cannot serve both God and money. And then right after that, Jesus' exhortation, do not worry. Do not worry. Now, that's not his take on the Grammy Award-winning Bobby McFerrin song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Some of you may remember that one. If that were the case, Jesus would just sort of move his sermon from the mount to the beach and maybe trade in his cloak for some sunscreen and just go around turning frowns into smiles. But Jesus' words are actually, as it turns out, more than just good advice on how to live a more laid-back kind of life. They're actually urgent instructions on how to live a kingdom of God kind of life. They're words about how to live in the reign of God. Jesus is describing what life looks like for folks whose number one priority is the reign of God and knowing God and doing the will of God. That's what his focus is on here in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not worry. Or as it's sometimes translated, do not be anxious. Worry and anxiety. Now, there's rarely a deficit of those two in our lives, is there? In fact, there's usually a surplus. Every day seems to bring a fresh supply of fears. What if I get sick? What if I lose my job? What if something happens to me and I can't live independently on my own anymore? What if a storm strikes? What if I don't pass this class? What if I screw up this presentation? What if my child gets into trouble? Day by day, the what ifs just seem to keep on coming into our lives in one way or another. Several years ago, I think it was primarily during the time right after the big economic recession a few years ago, social psychologist Daniel Gilbert looked at some data and concluded that at that time, Americans were smiling less, worrying more than they were a few years before, that happiness was down, sadness was up, that people were getting less sleep, that smoking cigarettes was on the rise, that depression was on the rise too. And he concluded that the primary problem wasn't mainly about financial things, though that was in there. The primary concern wasn't financial, it was lack of certainty about the future. Uncertainty about the future, and I like the way he summarized it. An uncertain future leaves us stranded in an unhappy present, with nothing to do but wait. Our national gloom is real enough, but it isn't a matter of insufficient funds. It's a matter of insufficient certainty. Now, there's a lot of truth in what Gilbert states there, especially during that time of great economic distress, but I just add that in lots of cases, the insufficient funds and the insufficient certainty go together in different kinds of circumstances. I think we hear some of that today in our scripture text as Jesus warns us about frantically pursuing the necessities of this life. Listen to him again. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more important than clothes? Now, granted, those words were originally addressed to his closest disciples, who had probably left their vocations for the most part in order to be with him full time so that they could journey with him and learn more about the reign of God, about preaching the reign of God, about practicing the reign of God. And part of what that included was dependence on the hospitality of others as God's way of providing for them locally as they went about, and God's way of providing for their needs. But the fact that Jesus called to, I think, trust in God and to be on guard against the love of money comes right along this warning about do not worry, reminds us that these are words of instructions, not just for those first disciples who were relying on local hospitality in their ministry, but for folks like us as well. We too need to rely on God's promise that he will provide. He will provide what we need. In other words, as we follow Jesus, he will see to it that we have the basics: food, clothing, shelter, and any other essentials that may be appropriate in our own day and time. I know that that leaves the door open for debate about what are the essentials. Some might want to put transportation in there on that list. Some might even want to argue that a cell phone belongs on the list of essentials nowadays in one way or another. But I really don't want to go too deeply into the kinds of things that may or may not qualify as basics to life. Suffice it to say, as Jesus tells us, that God is aware of and responsive to our needs, and that we can rely more on the list that he compiles than on the lists that we often compile of what our needs are, which sometimes extend into wants as well. Jesus tells us that when it comes to relying on God's care and provision, we can learn a lot by looking at the world of creation right there all around us, says Jesus. God sees to it, he says, that non-human forms of life like birds or flowers have the things that they need each day. Surely he'll provide for us human beings as well, and it's true. There are some situations where some birds starve and some flowers don't mature fully the way that they're supposed to, and other kinds of exceptions to Jesus' teaching that we could probably all point to, but in this case, Jesus is the one doing the pointing, and he tells us not just to take a quick glance out the window at the plant and animal life, you see, but he sort of tells us more, I think, like, take your eyes off your cell phone and look around at the world of God's creation and get a closer, deeper sense by taking a long and patient and appreciative look at the way God gives and sustains life, moment by moment, day by day, in the world of creation, his world. Instead of seeing the world, says Jesus, as sort of a realm of scarcity, where everybody just has to compete for limited kinds of resources, instead, look at God's world and see the world as sort of the realm of God's generosity, God's care, God's provision, not just a place of scarcity, but a place of God's generosity, God's care, and the giving of life. Now, that's really a contrast, isn't it? When you see the world that way, it's a great contrast to our often frantic pursuit of the necessities of life. Our pursuit of possessions in our minds and with our mouths, we're often saying that we trust in God to provide for us. At least that's what, like I indicated, we're saying with our minds or with our mouths. But lots of times in our spending habits, our attempts at accumulation, our patterns of giving, we're saying something very different than that. We're saying that what the Heavenly Father thinks is enough, well, it might not really be enough. So maybe we need to supplement his list of essentials so we can secure our lives, at least just to be safe. But then Jesus comes back at us to tell us that the things that we think may be so essential in order to secure ourselves and secure our lives may not be as security-giving and life-giving as we think. So he asks, who of you, can any of you, add a single hour to your life by worrying? Actually, if medical research is any good indication, we may shave time off our lives by worry and anxiety in lots of different ways. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that each of us should strive for just a completely laid-back kind of life where we don't have to worry about or engage with the complexities day-to-day of material needs or financial resources. I'm not urging you to sort of be naive about life, and I'm not saying that just going around saying, well, God will provide, that's no excuse for still working hard and planning and preparing and thinking ahead as well. I'm not telling you really to quit your job, sell your house, liquidate your retirement fund, and just sort of go off to some place where you can avoid all interaction with any kind of financial complexities or material needs of life or any of those kinds of things. I'm simply saying that the kinds of things that we consume in order to meet our essential needs, if we're not careful in our lives, they begin to get to be the kinds of things that start to consume us and our devotion, our time, our thought, our energy, our resources, our focus, those kinds of things. One day this past week, I crossed paths with a friend who was sharing with me some good news that he and his family are going to closing soon on a new house. They've been living in pretty cramped quarters with relatives for a while, so sounded encouraging to him and to me to learn that they'll soon have some extra space where they can maybe reduce some of the stress that was going on. But I could tell by that cautious grin on his face and the way he was shaking his head some that he knew that with this would come other forms of stress, a bigger payment, mortgage insurance, maintenance and repair expenses, property taxes, a longer commute, all the kinds of things that might go into this picture. It's true, as Jesus says, the animals and plants are in God's care, and so are we. But those birds don't have a mortgage payment or tuition bills or taxes or lots of kinds of the other things that we face. So as human beings, there is more complexity to the picture, though there's certainly the truth of Jesus' teaching as well, and we still each have our legitimate basic daily needs. So what Jesus focuses on in our passage, and this I think really goes to the heart of it, what Jesus focuses on in our scripture passage is our excessive worry, excessive anxiety about whether those needs will be met and how they'll be met. In fact, at the end of our text, Jesus even acknowledges, doesn't he, the reality of worry and anxiety, that that's going to be part of our lives. He himself acknowledges that each day's going to have trouble of its own. So don't spend too much time trying to reach into the future, grab a handful of tomorrow's problems and bring them on into today and mix them in with what you already have. Instead, he says, trust that wherever and whenever trouble is present, God is more present. Live that way and trust that God is greater than your immediate needs. Now, granted, that's not a recipe or a prescription for a completely worry-free, trouble-free, laid-back kind of life, but it is a good piece of instruction and teaching and exhortation for a way of thinking and a way of living that keeps our focus on the most basic necessity of all, the kingdom of God. There's nothing really that you need in your life more than the reign of God. And when you have that, Jesus says, you have it all. When you have the reign of God in your life, you have it all. That doesn't mean that you can just ignore the complex, like I said, realities of material needs or financial decisions or stewardship of money in your daily life. In fact, your relationship with money and your relationship with possessions is one of the primary ways that you live out the kingdom of God and practice the reign of God in your own life and demonstrate your kingdom priorities. And that's because as disciples, God's reign of righteousness, his realm of justice and peace, is supposed to be our singular focus, our primary objective as disciples of Jesus. Seek first, he says, the Heavenly Father's kingdom. Seek first the Heavenly Father's realm of justice and peace in your life, and you'll soon see that God, the Heavenly Father, has all the other stuff covered. Enough food, enough clothes, enough shelter, enough money, enough time, and enough of all the other essentials that you need to live a kingdom of God kind of life. Remember, says Jesus, that if you spend your time anxiously and with excessive worry, chasing after these kinds of things, you'll miss out on the thing that matters most, the most basic essential, the kingdom of God in your life. Instead, he says, live daily by trust in God's care and God's provision. Rely on his promises that he is aware of your needs and that he'll provide. Trust in God's daily care and provision in your life. Make God's agenda for the world your number one priority in your life. Make God's agenda for the world your number one priority in life. And you'll see God's provision and care that's there with you in lots of other kinds of ways. As you pursue God's reign, he says, your life will take the shape of greater generosity in lots of other ways too. And that sort of brings us back to where we started last week with generosity as an act of worship. For in addition to being an act of worship, generosity is an expression of faith. It's an expression of faith. When you give, part of what you're doing is you're demonstrating your dependence on God. A gift placed in the offering plate is a sign, really, of a life that's placed in the hands of God, trusting in God's provision and God's care for daily needs. When you give generously to the work of God through the church, and when you give generously to the work of God in other ways beyond the church, you're demonstrating your dependence on God for your daily needs. You're showing that your confidence is in the Heavenly Father who knows you and knows what you need. When you're generous with God's generosity, and that's a big part of it as well, when you're generous with God's generosity, you're demonstrating that you're living by trust in a God whom you believe loves you and cares about you and provides for you and sees that you have what you need in your daily life. That's part of what generosity is, and that God will sustain you. There's something about generosity, something about giving generously that frees you up from captivity to consumption and sort of helps liberate you from captivity and bondage to excessive worry and anxiety about your daily needs and God's provision. I think that, as I said earlier, faith in God and reliance on God for your daily needs helps you see the world in a different kind of way, not so much as a realm of scarcity where we have to compete with each other over limited resources, but as a realm of God's generosity where he's giving life and providing in all kinds of ways each day and nourishing us too so that we'll be strengthened for the work of his kingdom and strengthened for pursuing first, he says, his righteousness. And when you live that kind of life by that kind of daily faith, you'll be living a generous kind of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've given us this day. All around us, we can see the ways that you're giving life and providing for your world. Help us to trust that you'll provide for us. Rely on your promise that you'll care for us. And walk in daily dependence on you for our needs. Look upon us with mercy, Heavenly Father, for those times when we're excessively anxious and worried. Give us the peace of knowing that you're aware of us, that you love us, that you'll sustain us, and see to it that we have the basics. Help us to focus in the meantime on what's most basic, your kingdom and your righteousness, relying upon you to provide for the other daily needs. Show us each day how we can make your agenda for the world and your agenda for our lives our number one priority, and live generously out of your generosity to us and to the world. We just pray these things now in your Son's name. Amen.